Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, March 15th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing
today? I'm doing just fantastic, thank you.
We're getting pretty near springtime.
We are. Last night or Saturday night, we were able to spring forward our clocks for those that do. And so that gives us a little more extra sunlight in the evening, a little more darkness in the morning. But, oh, well, just like anything else in life, you have to give up something, right?
It'll take me a while to adjust to jump ahead an hour. I always get up between 6 and 7. I mean, I wake up between 7 and 8 now because time changed.
But yeah.
Anyway, I'll figure it out one of these days.
Just in time for us to put the clocks back.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, gold today figured it out a little bit today. You know, we were up in the New York spot price aftermarket, up 330, 1732. Silver was up 30 pennies today at $26.33. Platinum was up 11 at 1218. Palladium was up $24, 2,451. The USDX today was stronger by 0.16 at 91.81. Crude oil was down 28 cents at 65.33. So, interesting day where you see the gold higher along with the U.S. dollar. So, is it a trend? Don't know. We'll have to wait and see as we build that. Just an interesting side note there, ladies and gentlemen. And what do we have today? The Dow, I mean, it's up 124 points. We're looking at, 173. They just changed it, so these must be the final ones. 32,952. Butch, we're just going to have to talk longer in the beginning of the program so we get all these final numbers. The NASDAQ.
Yeah, okay.
The NASDAQ was up 139 points, 13,459. The S&P was up 25, 3,968. 10-year yield, 1.61%. That's down off a little bit high of 0.03. It was negative 0.03, 1.61%. Nothing happening. European and Asian markets are pretty much flat. Bitcoin was down 6%. It's a typical Monday, and really not a whole lot. There's still talking about the stimulus, and now you're beginning to hear more buzzwords about the infrastructure that they're already beginning to create that monster. And, you know, of course, they all talk about it's going to be, oh, we're going to try to do something together. And, you know, that's just a bunch of hogwash. They're not going to do anything together. But so it really is, I guess it's been a year since where the S&P 500 index went down 12%. It was the second worst day ever. And we saw what else happened in the subsequent 12 months. Of course, we've seen a big change since last October, but I mean, last March. But, you know, it was by the end of March 2020, the world stocks saw their market value collapse by $21 trillion. So that's how much was lost last March, $21 trillion, Butch. Not a lot of money in today's world.
I'm laughing, but it really isn't funny because it's true.
I know. It doesn't matter anymore, you know.
No, it really doesn't. You know, I was just thinking, he's giving the stock numbers. And I remember when the Dow was struggling to get to 8,000, S&P was 500.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all the hot air pumped into those markets since then. Really.
But when you really think about it, if those markets collapse, everything collapses. And that is how they
are going.
Pardon?
People's retirements will be shot. A lot of them are heavily invested in the market. If it drops, it's going to be over for a lot of people.
What's going to be over for, and that's the emphasis of really keeping the stock market going higher and higher. It keeps everybody fat and happy. And so, and once that breaks, I mean, the turmoil, I mean, that truly would be the collapse of our system. I mean, our system has really been tied to this stock market. Crazy. So, anyway.
I agree. And we watch the insanity around the world. Nothing seems to be affecting it. That's what really amazes me. It may drop a few hundred points, bounce back up the next day. Nothing seems to affect it anymore. It used to be world catastrophes would bother it, especially here in this country, of course, but it's no longer seems to bother any. They just shakes it off and goes on.
Yeah. Well, it's also part of inflation. So
that's true.
You know, inflation has a little bit of a hand in that also. So, so we got a lot of, I think this year we're sensing a little bit of calm. And you know what? I think we're going to have calm since they picked July 4th as some sort of a get back to normal date. I don't know if we're going to just see things go along normally until then. And then everything will hit the fan afterwards. But I don't know. We'll find out, but. So.
Well, when you count the cost of everything that's been happening right now, and this first article I want to share, this actually stunned me. I had no idea. Federal COVID spending just hit $41,870 per taxpayer. Almost $42,000 we owe as taxpayer for the benefits we've gotten from the COVID bailouts. I mean, so far, people got, $600 a piece, now $1,400 a piece. Let's say they got $2,000 so far total, but they owe almost $42,000. That one never even swapped, folks. That's a huge, huge taxpayer burden. President Biden just signed his sweeping $1.9 trillion spending package into law. Once this bill hits the books, total taxpayer expenditure on COVID relief will hit $6 trillion, which roughly estimated comes out to $41,870 in spending per federal taxpayer. The sheer immensity of this spending is hard to grasp. Roosevelt's New Deal that started back long before y'all were born was nothing compared to this. This $6 trillion in COVID bailout. And now you and I owe $42,000 to pay it back. Did you get that much of a check from them? I don't remember getting that much of a check.
Did you send yours in yet?
I haven't sent my $42,000 yet, no.
Okay. All right.
I'm waiting for
let
you
me write you
to
a check. So let me write you one of the checks so you can. See if we can't write fiat checks.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, the average person doesn't take time to look at that. They have no idea. They don't know. But all it costs us as per taxpayers is $42,000 to get these bailouts. And the bailouts we got was nothing compared to what, as you covered before many times, the pork barrel spending they did on so many different areas with these so-called bailouts. We were snookered big time, but the people are waiting for the check. I had one lady tell me today, she can't wait to get the check because she wants to put windows in her house and go on vacation.
Yep.
Go back to the beach. And I understand wanting to put windows in the house. I do, believe me. And going on vacation is wonderful. But they don't see beyond the fact that they're getting $2,800. They don't see the idea. It's not free. We're going to pay for it. They can't grasp that idea. Isn't that sad?
It really is sad. And I don't mean to make light or make fun. I understand. But yeah, a lot of those, and they're doing a means test, sort of. But how much taxes, I mean, it's just like, how can I say this? I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that. But a lot of those who have gotten as much money as they don't put anything into taxes, you know.
Yeah, like illegals and convicts, yeah. Inmates. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely right.
So, yeah, they're anxious to spend it. And that's it, but you know what? That's what's been keeping this economy going. You know, so, hey, keeps the multinational corporations in business. You know, it's kept Walmart in business. It's kept all the box stores in business through the pandemic. They're all doing well. Can't say the same for the little mom and pop shops, but hey, who cares about them?
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. And on top of that, we have Pelosi just introduced H.R. 5, has passed the House, to give everyone the do away with the voter qualification standards, to open up voting for anyone that gets a driver's license, has to register to vote, which opens the doors for anyone at all to vote. We're seeing this, our nation totally undermined, Melody. This is coming together so quickly. The financial part is huge. But we're starting to see the whole thing undermined in every other way possible. What do you have left to build on? You mean, how do you recover from anything if you don't have some kind of foundation to build on?
Yeah.
You know, it's impossible. It won't work. And the absurdity, you probably saw this article, more California cities experiment with hero pay leading to predictable results. Now, wouldn't you think that a city government would think that if you make the businesses pay more than they can afford in wages, it's going to affect businesses and jobs? Wouldn't you think they'd figure it out on their own without going into this kind of idiocy? But they didn't. Back in early February, we looked at a story out of Long Beach, California, where the city council passed an ordinance requiring large chain grocery stores to provide workers with an extra $4 per hour as hero pay during the pandemic. That immediately resulted in two of the biggest Kroger stores in the area closing their doors permanently, putting hundreds of people out of work. At the same time, I noted that a number of other large municipalities in the Golden State were either already drafting or considering similar legislation. But having seen what happened in Long Beach, they thankfully had sufficient warning not to make the same mistake. Or so you would have thought, but as it turns out, you'd have been wrong. Los Angeles plunged ahead and passed the same type of law. They upped the ante and made it $5 per hour. Try not to faint from shock when I tell you that three more Kroger stores shut down in short order. If only someone could have somehow foreseen this and avoided all these closures. Gee. The list of Southern California stores that have been forced to close over government's implemented hero pay hikes has grown to five after three more locations announced they will close their doors. Two Ralph's locations and one Food for Less location, both owned by the grocery giant Kroger in West Los Angeles, will close due in part, the company says, to a Los Angeles City Council mandate requiring some employers to provide an additional $5 per hour in hazard pay for workers on the front lines during the coronavirus pandemic. And the mandate will add $20 million in operating costs over the next 120 days. Making it financially unsustainable to continue operating in underperforming locations, Kroger said in a news release. So that means that thanks to the council's hero pay, 289 people lost their jobs in Los Angeles. And it's also worth noting that these aren't minimum wage jobs for students. Thanks to California gender slavery laws, these grocery store workers were making an average of $18 an hour, which works out to be the equivalent of $24 per hour when you include the mandatory benefits they receive. On top of that, those neighborhoods will now be without one of the larger grocery shopping options with the most diverse range of products. So the people were making $18 an hour already, $24 counting benefits, and they raised them $5 more and closed down. So 289 people lost their jobs in stores in Los Angeles. Isn't that just sweet? I mean, wouldn't you think, after a while, even Californians could see that the businesses can't afford to keep doing this. Melody, $24 an hour is good pay in a grocery store. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, $18 is good.
Yeah, but that's 18 plus benefits. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that's union.
Yeah, Kroger's is union. Yes.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, and that's I don't know how to solve the problem to increase wages. I mean, I don't believe in forcing businesses to increase their wage. Well, what about this, Butch? What if we fight inflation and maybe bring the prices down so those wages actually do cover something? Is that possible?
Well, I am not a professional businessman by any means, but I do know that for a lot of years we run this country on supply and demand, and there were ups and downs, no doubt about it.
Well, sure.
But businesses that allow the profit have to compete for labor, so they pay better because they know the next guy next door is profiting too, and he may give them better wages. When you take out the freedom for the businesses to produce and make profit, they lost all incentive to do anything. You can't blame them. And when cities can start telling the federal government's bad enough for the state government. When the cities start telling you got to increase your pay $5 an hour.
Yep.
I mean, this is getting to be ridiculous. And they still haven't learned a lesson, I'm sure. I mean, California is one of the worst places to be in this country as far as taxes and finances go, for sure. People are leaving it by the millions, actually, as they are in New York and other places. And they're trying to escape to places where they can afford to pay the bills. But when the state and federal and then a city gets involved, telling business owners that they have to pay so much out in wages, that is nothing but pure communism, and it would destroy the economy as it did for Kroger stores and 289 workers in the city of Los Angeles. I mean, they got their pay, then they got nothing because they're out of work.
You know, but the real problem is it's sad that our government has allowed all these with these multinational corporations lost our jobs. So we have so many people looking for work. And, you know, it does allow them to, you know, even like the Obamacare, you know, it was tied to so many hours a week. Well, that just made businesses say, well, you know, if we're going to be forced to pay full benefits or health care for people who work 38 hours, we're just going to reduce everybody's hours to 34.
Yep. That's right.
So they reduced the Obamacare to 34, and guess what? Hours were whacked down to 29 or 30, whatever it may be. So, you know, government really needs to stay out of business.
They surely do.
And there's always ups and downs. And we're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show, love is all around.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I want to thank Todd, our producer, for changing our bumper music a little bit. And he went back, did a lot of work, and coming up with the intro music to a lot of the older TV programs. So the one that first one that we played was MASH. Butch, did you know the second one?
I did. I could barely hear it, but that's Mary Tyler Moore Show.
It is. It is. Yes. I kind of gave you a hint.
I can barely hear that, though, but I can hear the first one loud and clear.
Yeah, so we're gonna do that. He's scheduled the bumper music to have that all week long for these old TV programs, which I'm sure many of us and many of you that are listening to this program have watched those programs as we were growing up. So kind of brings back.
We're talking 35, 40 years ago already.
Yeah.
Longer.
I know.
50
years. Well, for you.
Yeah. I don't know how you remember because you're only 39.
I know. I remember being told about them.
Okay. Is that what it is? Okay. They probably give you tests in school now. Remember this song now.
Anyway, I hope you enjoy it as much as I do, and I'm sure Butch does too. So thank you, Todd. You know, I just want to, we were talking about, you know, all the money and everything that is being spent and so forth. What do you think is going to be spent when they're going to be housing immigrant teens at the Dallas Convention Center? They want to house up to 3,000 immigrant teenagers at a convention center in downtown Dallas as this administration is having trouble finding space for this surge of migrant families. And, I mean, it's like, I wonder how Dallas thinks about it. The K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center will be used for up to 90 days, beginning as early as this week. And this was according to a memo that was obtained by the Associated Press that was sent Monday to members of the Dallas City Council. So they're going to house boys ages 15 to 17, according to this memo. And it describes the soon-to-open site as a decompression center. Then what are they going to do after 90 days? What do you think they're going to do, Butch? Open the door and say adios, amigos?
I'm sure that Biden's paying for that out of his own pocket. We won't pay for that, will we?
Oh, of course not.
Yeah, we will never pay for that. That's, you know, that wouldn't be fair to American people to take rip them off for illegals, would it? I mean, we're paying to support most of them already in the country anyway. A lot of them that are too lazy to work, and we're supporting them. So, I watch another 3,000. Bring them in. We can feed them. We'll close them. We'll see to go to the doctor. We have people here in this country who are homeless and they're hungry. Yep. And can't afford to go to the doctor. But we'll take care of the illegal. Don't worry. Bring them on in.
And then we'll just let them out and give them all the benefits, and then they can go find a job.
Oh, yeah, they're going to... right. And don't forget, now Pelosi is giving a right to vote next election, too.
That's right. So
here we go.
They got it made.
They do. You know, and as I look at all this and thinking, will the American people ever get mad enough to say this is enough, or are they just going to keep on letting this happen?
Not until we're hungry.
And that's coming down the pike pretty soon. In this article I want to share is written on the Economic Collapse blog, and I thought it was interesting. Brace yourself for the most dramatic shift in the standard of living ever. Now, folks, this is a little bit lengthy, but I want to read it because it's very important. They're assuring us that we don't have to be concerned about inflation because they have everything under control. Do you believe them? The value of the U.S. dollar has been steadily declining for a long time, and most Americans have grown accustomed to having the cost of living rise at a faster pace than their paychecks do. But over the past 12 months, an enormous paradigm shift has begun. Instead of devaluing the currency a little bit at a time, now leaders are going full Weimar. Anyway, our money supply is growing at an exponential rate, and this is becoming a major national crisis. As I pointed out yesterday, it took from the founding of our nation, of our country, all the way to 2020 for M1 to reach $4 trillion. But then from the start of the pandemic to today, M1 has gone from $4 trillion to $18 trillion in 1 year, folks. To call that economic malpractice would be way too kind. The truth is that it is complete and utter lunacy, and we are going to literally pay the price for such madness. Sadly, inflation is already starting to show up in a major way all throughout our economy. For example, most Americans have noticed that the price of gasoline has really started to shoot up over the last several weeks. Gas prices have been increasing at the pump for the past few weeks, reaching a national average of $2.77 a gallon as of Monday, which is 39 cents higher than the same time 2020, according to AAA. A lot of people are alarmed by this, but the Federal Reserve insists that this is completely normal. Meanwhile, the price of agriculture commodities has risen 50% over the last year. Now, folks, pay attention to this. These are food prices and gasoline prices so far. The price of agriculture commodities traded on the global stage has shot up by 50% since the middle of 2020, according to economists at Robobank. And in a new report, the bank pins a lift in the price of wheat, corn, soy, sugar, and a range of other commodities on the northern La Nina as a weakening U.S. currency, market speculators, and rising demand from importing nations. Folks, you talk about wheat, corn, and soy, and sugar, you're talking about the whole spectrum of what you buy in the store. As those prices are passed along to the consumer, you'll be paying more for groceries at your local supermarket. But authorities assure us that the prices will stabilize once the economy returns to normal. The good news is that at least the price of food is not rising as fast as the price of lumber is. Now listen to this. Lumber prices, Melody, have increased more than 180% since last spring. And this price spike has caused the price of an average new single-family home to increase by over $24,000, $24,036, since April 7, 2020, according to NAHB standard estimates of lumber used to build the average home. So over $24,000 in price of housing. Lumber's went up 180% since last spring, since last April. Food has went up 50%. Gasoline's went up in our area for 69 cents a gallon in the last couple months. And that's not inflation? It's under control? Which one of these, Melody, does not affect all of us? If you go get in a car, you got put gasoline in it. If you go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, that's made out of wheat. If you're going to build a home, you're going to add more money to that. 180% increase.
Amazing.
But it is amazing. But, don't worry about it. It's under control. Don't get excited. Went from $4 trillion to $18 trillion in a year? The M1? Think about that. That is absolutely unbelievable. And people still don't seem to understand. Any comments on that?
No, I mean, I think sometimes people are just having such a tough time getting by, although you wouldn't think so, because there seems to be so much money out there. But yet, I don't know what they just keep paying the higher prices. And, they give up on something. you know, like medications and so forth, they just don't take their medications, or they skimp, or they, you know, they take their pill every day. They instead of taking it every day, they take it every other day, you know, or something like that to get by. And that's how people are getting along. They, you know, and heck, hamburger anymore is $6 a pound. Higher, you know, in some places.
This goes back a long way, but I remember hamburgers. I remember when hamburgers 10 to 15 cents a pound. 10 to 15 cents a pound back in the 70s. I remember. I don't say it's the best burger in the world, but you can buy it for that. Now the average price is going to be $4 to $5. I'm so thankful. I'm blessed to be able to raise my own beef. But the whole idea is this is real inflation. And you notice in gasoline, because you put gas in the car. You may notice in food, but most people don't pay attention to lumber price because they're not building the house. But 180% increase, Melody, that is huge. And food prices, food commodities are going up 50%. That's huge. And everything has wheat, soy, and sugar, something in it. A loaf of bread was $1.50, probably going to cost you over two now or more. If you're feeding the family, it's tough. Yet we're going to feed 3,000 illegals in a coliseum and house them and give them doctors. Let welcome across the border come in and let the little small communities along the border suffer the consequences. What is wrong with the American people today? Anyway, I'll shut up and let you talk. But it's your program. Go ahead.
No. I mean, you're spot on. But, you know, we talk about oil, we think about gasoline, we think about heating oils and so forth. But there are so many products made from petroleum.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you're looking at, and these are the things that we really forget about. Yeah, gasoline is in our face. Meat, you know, our foods. But you've got paint, which you would think so. How about aspirin?
Plastics, everything plastic.
Everything, your toothbrush.
Sure.
Shampoo.
Your tires, automobile tires.
Your tie, umbrellas, roofie. Your toilet seat, for heaven's sakes. Life jackets, dyes, cortisone, antihistamines. I mean, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of products. They'll go up, they can go up 80%, and you won't know it. You know, figure out when, you know, maybe your aspirin goes from $1.25 to $2.25. That's a big percentage gain.
Yes, it is.
But you don't think much about it. So we're so deceived by the way they price things, the way they market items. It always cracks me up. You know, oh, get this deal. There are no deals to be had. You know, I don't know. It just really is amazing. Cameras, dishes, golf balls, cold cream, your dentures. All petroleum products. Combs, clothes. No wonder we're all sick. Anyway, not only are we broke, we're sick.
Well,
so anyway, that's, you know.
Again, it just really irks me, and I have nothing against helping people that are here lawfully trying to work and having a hard time. Nothing with helping them. But people come in here illegally. They steal from us. Our government backs it up. And Biden has surely backed it up and invited them in. That does bother me. It does bother me. It truly does. But you know what? We're not the only countries facing inflation. Brazil inflation rate, according to the numbers, surged to 4.6%, which is way more than I thought it was going to be this year. Russia considers faster rate hikes this year because inflation spikes were there, so they're wanting to raise their interest rates to slow inflation down. So this is worldwide. Any nation with a fiat currency has a inflation problem. And all the countries I know of have fiat currencies, so they are facing inflation. Because paper is paper is paper. The more you print, the less it's worth. And that Russia's facing it, Brazil's facing it, Venezuela went under because of it. And they had everything going for them for a while, and they're under, completely going under. So I don't know why people can't see this. We're going through the same stages. Maybe it's because we've had it so easy for so long, we can't grasp the idea.
I think that's a big part of it. We've always been able to get by.
Yeah.
And plus, there's a lot of propaganda out there.
Oh, my, so. Yes. Yeah, we have the highest living standard in the world, they say. And I'm not saying we don't are one of the better ones, but that's not saying much compared to what we are today. That just means other countries have fallen a lot lower than we have, which is even sadder.
Yes.
And remember last week we were talking about the power companies in Texas. Mm-hmm. And the $10,000 power bills. Well, Texas power retailer Gritty heading for bankruptcy. Now, this is interesting. Texas power retailer Gritty Energy LLC is planning to file for bankruptcy after the state grid operator cut off the company's access to customers for unpaid bills following the Texas freeze. So I knew eventually this would come back to bite somebody. It's biting this company in the butt. Gritty, I'm not saying they tried to cheat anybody or didn't. I'm not saying that at all. But their calls went up to $9,000. Their calls went up from $9,000 to megawatt. The regular price is $22 a megawatt. So they passed the cost on to the customers as they always do. But because the state said they can't collect it, they're going bankrupt. And they've already moved their customers, 10,000 customers, to other people because they're going under. Hmm. I don't know what the answer is for this. But that kind of money being laid out affects the idea of Kroger's in Los Angeles and other places when they make them pay so much an hour they can't cover it.
Yep.
Well, they couldn't cover this. That's their own fault, maybe for poor planning. I'm not saying it isn't. But they're going under, nonetheless. That's jobs going out, probably well-paying jobs, in a strain
sure.
of companies. So, Melly, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody's going to pay for it somewhere down the line. And generally, if businesses
Let me
pay
guess
for
who
it,
that is.
Yeah, exactly. And if businesses pay for it, ultimately that means that the employees pay for it because they lose their jobs.
And then ultimately,
back to
the
us.
Consumer pays for it.
So the taxpayer is going to cover the bills.
Yep.
They're going to cover
yep.
the bills, folks. This is a never ending cycle. If this goes around and around and around, it always comes back down to me and you because we're the one that pays the bills. And we'll discuss Biden's tax increase here in a little bit, because if he gets his way, your income tax will go up quite a bit. So we'll discuss that in a little bit. Go to break in a few seconds here. A lot more to talk about, so hang in there.
And the only way they're going to do this is by increasing your taxes. And what they're going to do is they're going to start talking, well, we're just going to increase the multinational corporations' taxes. And everybody's going to cheer, saying, well, they don't pay enough anyway, blah, 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 blah. But what do you think it's going to do? We'll be right back.
The beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Laverne and Shirley.
You got it.
Having a little bit of fun at this. I hope you are, too. So let's hurry up and get this next 15 minutes or 10 minutes done so we can hear the next. But you know, you had Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary. She's working with other countries. I get this. With other countries on an agreement to update corporate tax rules to establish a global minimum tax, probably the VAT, as the Biden administration considers raising taxes on businesses in order to finance spending priorities. You know, what are they going to learn? And what's this about establish a global minimum?
Yep. And it says they'll make rules to reflect the digital economy.
Yeah. I mean, it's... we are in so much trouble.
we are a one-world economy now. We know that. Now they're rubbing their nose in it.
Yep.
But a global minimum tax? You mean there's going to be a minimum? How about the maximum? Who's that going to be?
Yeah. And do you actually think these other countries, unless they're ready to pull the plug and become one, but do you think they're going to raise taxes equally? So... their companies, and I'm sure this is just Europe, I'm sure it's not the Asian countries, so if we get a minimum tax, or not a minimum tax, but a global tax, more businesses will go to the Asian countries, will go to Vietnam, will go to some of these other ones. You know, and that is the one thing I wish President Trump had done when he was in office, when he pulled out of the TPP, that he would have created one and fixed it, made it to where it would benefit us instead of just pulling it out. But anyway, that's all done. But this is the road we're on. Global, get used to it.
And a major tax hike to the biggest since Bill Clinton, 1993, on income tax.
Yeah.
And then folks, don't think it's just going to be corporate or the multimillionaire. It's going to come down to you. You don't tax businesses. Let me explain this one more time. In corporations, if you tax corporations, they pass the cost down to you.
Yep.
You can't tax a business. They have to make a profit, and some are greedy, but they're going to pass it down to the consumer. Understand, if you raise a tax on any business, say 20%, they're not going to absorb that all by themselves. They're going to raise their prices 20%.
Yep.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm just ignorant, but I've never seen a business yet go down because of taxation, not because of making somebody pay more wages. I've seen that happen already. But taxation is easy to pass on down. It's not something people really pay attention to. But it's an increased price hamburger, 10 cents a pound or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks, this is something you got to think about.
Higher prices are coming in everything very soon.
It is. It is. And this is common sense. It really is. This is common sense. And says here roughly 4 in 5 Manhattan office workers will not return full time. Wow. The Partnership for New York City has said major Manhattan employers expect less than half of their employees to be back to office by September. Manhattan's largest employers are starting to plan for the post-COVID future of work, and it seems that most of them are giving up the traditional way of doing things. Just 22% of the island's large employers will require all workers to return to the office full-time when they do eventually go back to work. Does that mean they're only going to be working part-time, Melody, from home? I just wonder about that. It says not full-time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Some 66% that said they would adopt a hybrid model of days in the office and days at home. Another 9% said it would not require workers to return to the office at all. And 4% said it would ultimately be role dependent. So the way I read this, it's going to mean that you can get less hours. I don't know. And of course, I can see the company's idea because it's going to save money. You know, they won't need to rent the office space or anything.
Yeah,
any comments on that?
Yeah, and therefore we get a lot of vacant office space.
Sure.
And you don't get the same productivity either. I mean, you have to be truly disciplined in order to work out of your home.
You do.
You can't, I'll go do the, oh, someone's walking down the street, I'm going to go say hello. I mean, you have to be truly disciplined, and I just can't imagine that 100% of these workers will be disciplined enough to be, so you would think that work would not be as good. Yeah.
You know, I worked in commission sales for 40 years. Never had a boss call me and give me up morning, and never had an alarm clock. I just got up and go because I had to work commission. If I didn't work, maybe my boys didn't eat, and if they didn't eat regularly, they'd eat the furniture, so I had to go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's just the way it was, and it does take discipline. It really does.
It does. It does, yeah, so. And I think we become spoiled workers. I think the majority of those that are going to be, and they might have done it this year because it was a scary year because everybody knew their jobs were on the line. Wait till the year gets better and you get a little more looser and you can go out. People worked hard this year at home because they couldn't go anywhere. They didn't have anything else to do. So they worked. But wait until now that the restaurants are opening up and now that they can go out and do things after, you know, no, I'm sorry. It's not going to work because people are not normally that disciplined.
So. Article here, rent control was making a comeback in U.S. cities, even as it's proving a disaster in Europe. I'll read this and I'll make a few comments. The evidence is overwhelming. Rent control laws are destructive. Teresa Dalida's voice broke when she urged Minneapolis city leaders to support the amendments that would give council members authority to regulate rent prices in the city. No, I've got to stop for a minute. Council members do not have the right to make laws. It's just the way it is. But let's move on. Don't get started on that. I don't want to end up homeless again. I don't want to be pushed out, said Delota, a resident of the Wyndham neighborhood, speaking at February 23rd city council meeting. Following testimony from Delota and other local citizens, Minneapolis city council members unanimously approved a proposed charter that will allow the city to impose rent control or put the issue to the future ballot. The fact that landlords can increase rents with very little notice is impacting people's lives and their housing stability, said Council President Lisa Bender. I don't know how long people can put up with city councils and people with no lawmaking authority at all telling you how to run your life. I don't know how long I can put up with that. But I have a small couple of rental properties, a couple of house trailers I rent out, and I keep them up to standard. Not because any law required me to. No law required me to do anything in this state, as far as I know. Melody, I've always said I will not rent a place I won't live in myself. I will not rent a place that I will not live in. So if I see something that's fixed, I fix it. The renters are happy, and I'm happy. They're good renters. I don't make a fortune off of them, but it pays for the rent and give them a little bit of cash once in a while if I have to fix something for them that I'm accountable for, I do it. Because I want to keep the property up. That's what good renters do. That's what good landlords do. They keep property up because it's worth more that way and worth more rent in the long run. But if you make me cut my rent in half, these people are going to be hurting for a place to sleep pretty soon because I can't keep it up. That makes sense to you?
Well, of course. Of course.
I mean, I'm not doing this for a hobby. You know, it helps keep the bills paid.
Well, you know, they're going to have to do something because you're going to have millions that once their moratorium on this eviction expires, there's a lot of people that are going to be, you know, in trouble. So they're going to have to start doing something. I don't know, you know. So
now, when does the moratorium end?
Oh, it's been extended so many times. At first, I thought it was the end of March. Then I think they extended it longer with this last stimulus bill. It might be all the way to September. I have to double check and find out exactly when it is.
Well, there you go again. And I know they're greedy landlords. I know there's some lords. I hear that all the time. But you can't lump us all together. You can't lump everybody together because you got a few bums out there. And you, if you cut off your nose and spite your face, you're just hurting people. I saw this to it. I mean, it irks me no end. I see this. And now we have cities making laws. My gosh. Anyway.
Terrible.
New York City spent nearly $500,000 per inmate in 2020. What? You know, they turn them loose, give them $500,000 a year. They probably won't do any more. They won't have steal no more. But anyway. The Office of New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer published a new report outlining how the New York City Department of Corrections spent a whopping $447,337 per inmate in fiscal 2020, up more than 33% from a year before. Wow, and it's more than doubled since 2015. Rising cost per inmate comes as violence has exploded with New York City jails. The rate of incidents and allegations of use of force has also grown sharply, nearly doubling from year to year 2018 to 2020. So not only are they spending $447,000 per inmate, the rising incidents in the jail for violence is doubling. I mean, my gosh, this is absolutely absurd. How would you spend over $440,000 for an inmate in prison? What did you feed him? How would you do that?
Well, it's a cost of, you know, it's the cost of everything else, you know, wages, pensions, power, electricity, you know, all of that stuff. But it does seem like a mighty high price tag.
It does. I mean, I know they got retirement bills to pay, but and I know there's probably union jobs, but there's no way that they can afford, no one can afford this forever.
Mm-mm.
My goodness, Melly, these things are absurd. Absurd.
Agreed.
I just sat back and looked at this and scratched my head and wonder, how did we get there? I know it's greed in a lot of different places, I realize that, but how did we get there? Yeah, and most of it happened in my
lifetime.
And
now that we're there, where do we go from here?
Well, that's a good question. If they cut the cost of it in half, that's still $250,000. So, you know, $250,000. So they cut it. I mean, it's just unthinkable. Yeah. Any more comments on that?
No, I have none. I have none. I mean, well, you know, the bad thing about that is because they've loosened up so much of these, crime is rising. So, you know, what are they going to do with them? Let them out on, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just another sign of the times, I guess.
It is. We're letting more across the board all the time, too. It is amazing.
Yep.
It says the shooting has begun. Pro-Russian forces shoot down Ukrainian army combat drone. Now, this is not looking good. Pro-Russian forces in breakaway areas of Lunsk and Donetsk in eastern Ukraine have shot down a Turkish-made combat drone being operated by the Ukrainian army. Shots have now been fired. This website has been reporting a buildup of troops, tanks, and armor by the Ukrainian government being positioned to use against the breakaway Lunsk and Donetsk oblasts or states. So this is heating up over there, too. Today, March 14th, the Ukraine military has sent an armed combat drone manufactured in Turkey over the breakaway republics. Suspect is that type anyway. Went on to talk about how that worked. And it says, this is covert intel reported today, March 15th, was likely to be the day when Ukraine commences a full-scale military offensive to forcibly seize the two breakaway states. I don't know, will not. Maybe we'll hear after what they did. I don't know. But that's what the article says. Wow. This is happening worldwide. You know that.
Yes, I do.
I mean, everywhere you turn, as the Bible said in Matthew 24, wars and rumors of wars. And we're seeing now Germany, Italy, France, Norway, Denmark, Australia, Bulgaria, and Iceland, and Netherlands have all quit using AstraZeneca.
Vaccine, I think it's up to 19 nations.
Yeah, they quit using it because it's called people get sick. And we go on from there and share some other things.
Blood clots,
yes. And it's killing some people and it's causing all kinds of trouble. So, folks, these vaccinations have not been tested. Don't take them. Think about it before you do. Please. It's only common sense. You just can't jump in these things and say, okay, because the government says it's good, we're going to do it. You can't do that. Look for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look online. Find doctors who say you shouldn't do this. I'm not making this up. I'm not going to do that. Look and see. Your life and your child's life may depend on it. And now they want to vaccinate newborns with Johnson & Johnson's vaccination. So, and I understood COVID hardly affected young people at all. So, any comments, Melody? We're running out of time so fast.
Well, you know what? It's interesting is because Boris Johnson, you know, and I think there was somebody, the EMA, which is the European Medicine Agency, they insist that the rate of clots in vaccinated people seems not to be higher than that seen in the general population, and the benefits of the vaccine outweighs the risk of side effects. Yes, unless you're the one that dies.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. We'll be back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.